Now back to the Tribune's Rick Pearson. It's the Sunday Spin on 720 WGN.
Good Sunday morning. Happy Valentine's Day. It's I was just out on the WGN Storm Center patio, and it's still a little bit brisk out there on this Sunday morning, but it's at least sunny, and enjoy it before the snow begins to fall, as you heard from Dave's forecast. Well, we had a bit of an audio mix-up when we started the show, but as I said, today is a day being dominated by the discussion of the political ramifications over the death of Supreme Court Justice Antonin Scalia. And you already have Mitch McConnell, the Senate Republican leader from Kentucky. You have Senate Judiciary Committee Chairman Chuck Grassley of Iowa. Both of them are saying that Republicans will not consider a nominee from President Obama to be confirmed, that it should be a decision for the next president. Nevertheless, President Obama intends to make a pick.
Today is a time to remember Justice Scalia's legacy. I plan to fulfill my constitutional responsibilities to nominate a successor in due time. There will be plenty of time for me to do so and for the Senate to fulfill its responsibility to give that person a fair hearing and a timely vote. These are responsibilities that I take seriously, as should everyone. They're bigger than any one party. They are about our democracy. They're about the institution to which Justice Scalia dedicated his professional life and making sure it continues to function as the beacon of justice that our founders envisioned.
That's the president speaking yesterday about the death of Antonin Scalia. Now, of course, the issue of Scalia's death quickly became a topic of last night's Republican presidential debate. Here is Ted Cruz and Donald Trump.
The reason principle matters, sadly, was illustrated by the first questions today. The next president is going to appoint 1, 2, 3, 4 Supreme Court justices. If Donald Trump is president, he will appoint liberals. If Donald Trump is president, your Second Amendment will go away.
Hold on, gentlemen, I'm going to turn this car around.
John Roberts, Ted Cruz, with your brother, wanted John Roberts to be in the United States Supreme Court. They both pushed him. He twice approved Obamacare.
All right, gentlemen.
Good going, man.
So there's a sampling of the sparks that flew during last night's Republican debate. Just a reminder, we've got 6 days to go until the South Carolina Republican primary and the Nevada Democratic caucuses, 9 days till Nevada's Republican caucuses, and 13 days to the South Carolina Democratic primary. So the schedule is getting very accelerated very quickly here. Well, joining me now here in the Showcase studio is Martha Jo Black. And Martha is my good friend. And she's also author of a memoir biography of her father, Jo Black, More Than a Dodger. And I think, Martha, you were here when the book first came out.
Yes, this was actually my first radio show, January 25th. Yes, at 46, I still remember certain dates. So yeah, you were
first. That was a memorable date.
Yes, it was. And I also remember in the studio, you guys had specific donuts stuffed with bacon and stuff.
Oh.
That day.
That could very well be.
Yeah, yeah, it was kind of interesting. And I gained like at least 4 pounds before I left.
See, the only radio show that you gain weight from.
Yes. But I appreciate it. Well, my dad was very happy that you did that for me.
Well, it is African-American History Month, and this book actually, I thought it was fantastic. And not
Thank
because
you.
You're a friend, but because I viewed it as educational, because you know we have this whole generation. I mean, you heard we played that cut of Congressman John Lewis,
right.
And you know the whole issue of civil rights and those kinds of things. And you know it's not that far distant, but yet you have this whole generation, I guess, maybe in a good way, that do not see things the way those of us who went through it.
I somewhat agree with that. I mean, you have to keep in mind, granted, I did not go through any of that. I'm from Paradise Valley, Arizona. Hello. Very Republican, very when are we going to the mall kind of state. But in the same token, my dad would be 92 years old at this point. My dad was a pallbearer at Dr. King's funeral. And so he had me go to a black college so I can understand what it does mean to be black. And I'm a big believer, because of my father raising me, which is like a grandfather, that sometimes you have to know your past to know where you need to go in your future. You have to respect where people, what people have done for you to get where you are. It's not about having new cell phones and being famous and stuff like that. It's about working hard and doing things for other people. And I think that we've somewhat lost that. I think Black History Month, if Stacey Dash would say that we shouldn't have that, but then if that's the case, then we shouldn't have anybody being, we shouldn't have, who cares about St. Patrick's Day? Who cares about these other things? I mean, we celebrate people. We don't live in utopia. So you do have to respect what people have gone through. And I think there was a sincere struggle. And we have come far from that, but we're not that far gone from it.
No, we're not that far gone from it. And there's still a much a long road ahead.
Exactly.
Too. And by understanding the past, I think you have a better understanding of, you know,
where you need to go.
Exactly.
And how you need to help people. I mean, it was something my dad saying was, I am my brother's keeper. That had nothing to do with race. That means if I can help you, I would be there to help you. And I don't think very many people do that right now in this society, period. I mean, I work for a sports team. And, you know, right now, no new generations about you're on your cell phone all the time. You're looking at that. Do people know how to communicate anymore? And I think when you miss that communication, that is why things go the way that they are. So I think that's something huge that this whole country has to get better at, with communicating with one another to respect what happened previously so you can move forward, because your cell phone won't do it for you.
Your father, and we talked about this a while back, the column that he had.
By the way.
Mm-hmm. That ran, I think it was in Ebony.
Yeah, Ebony and Jet Magazine, and he did a lot on black radio, like WVON and stuff like that, and the Defender newspaper as well here, and he
would catch some grief over some
A lot of grief, yes. A great deal, yes. As I learned when I went to school in Atlanta at Spelman, they were like, oh, you know, people here don't really like your dad. And I was like, right. I had no idea what that was coming from, but it is definitely something that my dad got grief from, because he said, you have to work hard. You should be very proud of who you are. I think during the time when I was a child, and so I didn't experience any of this, a lot of African-Americans wore dashikis to work and stuff like that. Well, they were upset that they weren't getting promoted within their job. And my dad's like, well, you can't dress like that. You have to blend in with where you're working, but you still should be very proud. Being proud of being black means that maybe you're helping that little boy next to you go to church, or maybe you're taking him to baseball practice. You're doing something. You have to give back. And a lot of African Americans during that time used to send my dad death threats, besides on himself and on me as well. And it's funny, one of my friends sent me a Jet magazine, which I will definitely bring to you so you can see that my parents' divorce was in Jet magazine in 1975. And stated that my father won custody of me. And I was like, we are so not a Kardashian. Why was this in there? You know, I mean, it was just, it's very strange. When I saw that, I was like, this is from a magazine, Jet magazine from 1975. And both my parents' pictures are in there. And I was like, we are so dysfunctional. It was just very strange to see something like that. But it's definitely, I think we don't have anybody speaking about the black community really in a positive light right now. And as you know, as I said to you many of day, that I wanted to do this book because my father was an amazing father to me, not because of baseball, that he lived his dream, but education was very important. And it took my dad 8 years to graduate college.
And we're going to talk more about that in just a moment, because the rationale for doing the book, I think, I mean, in respect, I kind of call it for Valentine's Day, it's a love story.
Yes.
It about a daughter's feelings towards her father. We're speaking with Martha Jo Black, author of Jo Black, More Than a Dodger. I'm Rick Pearson. This is the Sunday Spin. Good Sunday morning. Welcome back to the Sunday Spin. I'm Rick Pearson. And here with me in the Allstate Showcase studio at Tribune Tower on Michigan Avenue is Martha Jo Black, author of Jo Black, More Than a Dodger. And Martha, it's funny because we know each other so well. We just started talking about your dad without
yes.
kind of maybe, you know, perhaps like explaining what the title means.
Yes.
Okay.
Well, the title of the book is Jerry Reinsdorf, who is my boss, I do work for the Chicago White Sox, that he thought of it because my father did so much more than just play for the Brooklyn Dodgers. Regardless, he got traded to Cincinnati Reds and played for the Washington Senators as well. But my dad lived his dream. He was Rookie of the Year in 1952, first black pitcher to win a World Series game. And I did not know that my father was also the first vice president of a transportation corporation for Greyhound Corporation early on until he passed away. And because my dad never explained any of that to me. But so my dad did a lot living out his dream with baseball and then went into corporate America to write the commentaries, as you mentioned, like, by the way, in Ebony and Jet magazine to help people in the black community, in any community. Anytime it came to education, my dad was wholeheartedly wanted to help somebody and lend a helping hand. I mean, heck, my dad paid for my boyfriend in college. Morehouse lost his financial aid, and my dad paid for his second year at Morehouse College.
I mean, education for him was always a fundamental.
Yes, that was the first thing over everything. It doesn't matter about sports. You should definitely live your dream. I think a lot of young people, and especially a lot of African-American parents, they talk about how black men don't play baseball anymore. Well, think about it. If you come up with a middle-class family, rich family, whichever, your kid wants to play baseball, you're like, honey, you may not make it. So why don't you just worry about school and do that, because that's something you can definitely rely on. I definitely agree with that. But in the same token, I think more parents should be saying, well, go for your dream, but you definitely have to get that education. When you're playing Major League Baseball, regardless of what nationality you are, you can go back to school in the off season. You make enough money to pay for college, and none of them do.
Yeah, and I mean, you see, as I do, so much about professional sports and all that big money and the contracts and stuff, as people kind of, as younger minority people looking at, that's my gateway out.
Right,
that's my
right.
It's like, but it's a lottery ticket.
It's definitely a lottery ticket, and I think that it's not a bad lottery to play in, but you definitely have to get your education to fall back on, because once that game is over, my dad played for 5 years. If he didn't have an education, my dad could have never been the senior vice president of Greyhound Corporation. There are a lot of former players that are in the Hall of Fame that are begging to work for a team somehow, some way. There's only so many radio and TV jobs for the Cubs as well as the White Sox that are available. So not everybody could work there. I mean, I love my Uncle Ernie Banks, one of your favorite players from back in the day. He did stuff for the Cubs, but he wasn't making a lot of money with them.
Right.
You know, in that sense. You know, so they have to substitute their income somehow in some way.
Well, and your dad was very important player in with Major League Baseball,
yes,
too.
Yes, my dad was a consultant for MLB. He helped start the Major League Baseball Assistance Team, BAT, to help former players, Negro League players and umpires, and anybody in the baseball family that comes on hard times. Because we unfortunately know that health issues and cancer seems to be in everybody's life. Those are very expensive to deal with. And so BAT will help fundamentally to pay for certain things that you can't pay for.
We've got a call from Ron. Ron, welcome to the show.
Yeah, good morning, Rick. You know, I usually call in with some political stuff, but this is really, baseball is my number one passion. So I will definitely.
It's a bigger passion for you than politics?
Oh, I love it,
it's
Rick.
More fun.
And I wanted to just really ask, are you still a baseball fan? I go to the Negro Baseball Museum in Kansas City.
It's a fantastic
place.
Time.
Yes.
And I think Jerry Reinsdorf does a whole lot as far as giving to our community. But I just wanted to ask you, are you a big baseball fan, and where do you see African Americans participating and hoping that they'll get back into baseball? Rick, thanks again for having on, and I definitely want to pick up the book. You all have a great day.
All right, thank you, Ron.
No, thank you. To answer those questions, yes, Jerry Reinsdorf does a lot in the community of all of Chicago. I will definitely tell you that I do believe. I love baseball. I've been going to baseball. My dad, when I'm from Arizona, we would go to Dodger Stadium a lot. I met Dusty Baker when he was a player and I was a child. So I definitely think a lot of African Americans will play. I would hope they would play. There is no instant gratification, though, because there's single A, double A, and triple A, and then you hope you can get to the majors versus a lot of African-Americans play football and basketball because it's instant. They will take you from high school to go there versus Major League Baseball wants you to get some type of education, and they push that more forward into that for African-Americans. But I think I answered most of your questions. I'm not sure. I can tell you that you can buy the book on Amazon.com, and it was at Barnes & Noble, but I definitely know you can buy it on Amazon.
Well, and your father was so highly thought of that you've got, I mean, he's there, you were out part of, and as well as promoting the book, as the couple of awards that are presented in his name. The I think there's one at the most valuable player from the Arizona Fall League.
Yeah, the Arizona Fall League. They're a player that was actually a White Sox player that just won the award this past year. From the Arizona Fall League. That was my first job in Major League Baseball in 1992. And a lot of Major League Baseball's done a lot. Like I said, Bat has done a lot for my father. A lot of my father's friends, Peter O'Malley and everybody, they do a great deal and honor my father. And obviously I work for my dad's friend, Mr. Reinsdorf, so Derek gets to have me as a pain to remind him of my father, since I look so much like my dad.
Well, and just real quickly, once again, the story, one of the best stories in the book is the fact that, you know, going to high school in New Jersey, race was never really an issue.
Right.
Playing baseball, scouts are there. They look at all the white kids, and he wonders why.
They're not looking at him. And he asked, actually, one of the scouts, and he was like, so I think I'm pretty good. The scouts, who were obviously all Caucasian then, were like, oh, you're really, really good. He's like, so why aren't you talking to me? He's like, oh, because color guys don't play. My dad's like, what? Because my dad never paid attention. And playing for New Jersey, if they were all poor, they all played together. There was no race. He did not understand that there was – he understood there was segregation, but it wasn't that apparent in front of him. And my dad went home after that and ripped up all his baseball cards because he never paid attention that they were all Caucasian.
Except for one.
Hank Greenberg, his favorite player.
Which had his own form of
racism, you know,
as a Jewish player.
Yeah. I mean, Sandy Koufax went through that. I mean, when it comes to certain holidays, they didn't want to play and they're very respectful, and people didn't understand that, and that's very unfair.
Well, again, Martha, it's a fantastic book, and I think it's I think it's well worth a read. And frankly, it's an enjoyable read, but also, as I said, it's a very educational read. And as you said, you got to know where you came from to see where you're going.
Yeah, no, definitely. And I think it's a good read, and I hope people enjoy it. And the book has a lot of baseball in it, and my voice is italicized within the book, and that is because that shows my love and respect for my father.
That's Martha Jo Black, author of Joe Black, More Than a Dodger, and you can pick that up at Amazon.com. I'm Rick Pearson. This is the Sunday Spin.